as Lent gets into full swing, I encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up one of the Lenten booklets we have from the parish. Many of our parishioners have offered a reflection for each day on the gospel during the Lenten season. It's a beautiful way to have some extra contemplation in your life. Then there's also the Magnificat, which does the same. Also adds some other devotional prayers that you can pray during Lent. And then, as the announcement mentioned earlier, there's also the book Equipped. Today is Safe Haven Sunday. The bishop has asked us to make available this book that can help parents to have a safe home. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. If you rewind about 8 weeks, we listened to the baptism of Jesus. And in the baptism, Pope Benedict, when he comments on that, he says that's the first moment when Jesus identifies with us as sinners, even though he's sinless. He goes for the baptism, which is a baptism for repentance of which he does not need, but he is likening himself to sinful man to take upon himself our sins. And when Pope Benedict writes this, I don't recall him giving any source where he got that. He might have been his own prayer and reflection. But it ties right into St. Ambrose's view of the temptations of the Lord. St. Ambrose says, more eloquently than I'm about to, that the first purpose of the temptations is to redeem Adam. Adam, of course, did not fight off the temptation of the devil and succumbed immediately. And so St. Ambrose just brings home this powerful point that when we think about redemption and we think about Lent, the Church Fathers quite regularly first thought and spoke of Adam. When we get to Holy Saturday, there's a beautiful reading. It's not something we hear at Mass, but it was written in the second century, and it talks about the descent of the Lord into the dead, where he went to get all of those righteous people that existed before him as a man. And the first two people he goes to get are Adam and Eve, because he's setting right what they didn't. So when we think about the temptations of Christ, we should remember Adam, because in a real way, temptation obviously existed before sin, because Adam and Eve were tempted before they fell, but we need the Lord to teach us how to handle it. And Jesus does that today. St. Thomas says that everything that Jesus does in the scriptures is always done to teach us something. And so when you look at the temptations, the first thing you might notice is the Lord always refers to his Father. The devil gives this temptation, and the Lord, first he quotes scripture, and then he quotes scripture, and then the devil quotes scripture to him. And then the Lord comes back and says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And so that's our first lesson about temptation. Don't go it alone. We need the grace of God to overcome temptation. Temptation, just as a small definition, is any enticement to sin. Temptation is not itself sin. And there's a wonderful little book. It's actually one of the most popular books after the Bible in the history of the world. It's called The Imitation of Christ, written by Thomas a Kempis in the 15th century. And when he writes about temptation, he first makes a distinction with all of the saints. If the temptation is against the sixth or the ninth commandment, you always flee. You always flee temptation against the sixth or the ninth commandment. But other temptations we have to sometimes stand up and persevere through. And that makes us stronger. So temptation is an interesting thing. If we succumb, we immediately become weak. But if we stand fast in the grace of God and persevere, we become stronger and stronger and stronger. It's very much similar to what St. Paul says when he talks about how athletes deny themselves things to win a perishable crown, but we deny ourselves things to win an imperishable crown. And then when we think about this day, the first Sunday of Lent is when the church always proposes for us the temptations of the Lord. Because anytime you undertake a spiritual work, you can bet the devil will be there to try to tempt you against it, or away from it, or even to sin. And that's what Lent is. It's a great spiritual work. The whole church is called to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and the devil's going to be right there to try to tempt us away from all the resolutions we've made. And so we imitate Christ, and we call on the grace of God so that we can be steadfast in the face of temptation. Another thing you might notice with the temptations that the devil offers, he tailors them to the person. He will not be offering us all of the ruling the whole world. He can do much less, as G.K. Chesterton says, to get the same results. And so we have to be attentive to what our own weaknesses are, so that we seek Christ and the grace of God to persevere. A point that's related to this is particular for our RCIA candidates and catechumens. We're in our last 6 weeks before Lent, and many times in these last weeks, the devil goes full bore to try to discourage you or to put obstacles up to keep you from coming into union with his church, God's church. And so this reading is also particularly applicable for those of you in RCIA or OCIA. Today, those who are seeking baptism will have the rite of sending right after the homily. And this afternoon, they'll be sent to the bishop. Because when adults or those of the age of reason seek baptism, the bishop has to give his blessing. And that's what he'll do today. And you'll notice in those prayers that not only are we praying for the catechumens, but we're asking all of our parish to keep these people in our prayers, to bring them to the Easter sacraments, because they too face many temptations. And there are obstacles. I've seen it for 24 years. Things are going great, and all of a sudden it seems like there's some obstacle that might keep you from entering the church. But then you go to Christ and you ask his help, and there's perseverance and there is the aid of the divine grace. And then finally, it's not an accident that the bishop chose this Sunday as Safe Haven Sunday. All of the statistics that surround pornography and its use, its abuse, are appalling. And unfortunately, for many people, we do the same thing over and over again, but we're expecting a different result. Something that's ubiquitous in our culture is the iPhone or the Galaxy phone or the smartphone, and we give them to children. That's handing them a little porn shop. If in your home you do not have a filter, you don't have covenant eyes, you don't have anything that keeps the evils of the world away from your children, and they have that phone in their hand, how do you expect a teenager or younger to fight that temptation? Paul VI said, in a different context, but it applies here, it is an evil thing to make it easy for the young to violate the moral law. And so when the bishop put this Safe Haven Sunday today, he did it because he wants our homes to be safe havens. The world, we already know, is a disaster, and it's coming after our children. But we should not be aiding and abetting it by giving them unfettered access to everything. And so if that's the case in your home, make a resolution today that by tomorrow it will not be the case, that you will take the protections that are necessary. Another practical thing to do do not let your children take their phones to bed. I was just reading something, I don't remember where it was, and the mother said, all of the phones and the iPad or whatever thing we have, everything is in their room when it's bedtime. Because the temptations do not get easier as the night goes on. And so that's something that doesn't just apply to parents who have children under the age of 18. Because grandparents, these children come to your house. Is your house a safe haven? As I mentioned earlier, when it's the sixth and the ninth commandment, the advice from the saints is to flee. But we also have to take proper precautions to protect our children as long as we possibly can, so that they do not get sucked into this awful, awful addiction and sin. And so finally, we go back to the temptation of Christ, because the other lesson that Jesus teaches us is that we can win. We cannot win without him, as Adam and Eve tried to do, but we can absolutely win with him. And then we can say with St. Paul, as I've mentioned before, I can do all things in him who strengthens me.